Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for August 27th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I've brought you a great man. His name is Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm good. If I end up whinging during this podcast, I apologize. I've got this thing called rough kneecap syndrome. Not feeling too good. So hopefully I can make it through this. We can make it in together. It'll be fine.
I've heard of that. I Googled it and there's a lot of results. Yeah. I saw Hamster Watch tweeting about it. It seems like it's an epidemic.
It's a legitimate concern, Taryn. Mm-hmm. It's a legitimate concern. I'm here to bring awareness.
All right. So we are here to talk to you about everything that happened on the feeds yesterday. And let's get straight into this. We start the day off. I mean, basically, the feeds were down for a very long time. We had a very long veto, but they come back and Jason has won the veto. It was the hide and seek one. They hide their vetoes and they got to go find them. And the house was trashed. After this, they even ruined the couch. Why would you ruin the couch, Pooya?
I don't understand. Why would you mess it up? I blame James Hewling, as you should all blame James.
Yeah.
It's all his fault.
Paul did mention that, like, last season, James almost got put up on the block because of his antics. So they love to do that to piss people off. So Jason has the veto. Raven came in second. So very close there. Raven almost got that veto.
Yeah, almost. I mean, she did take Matt out of contention. So that's also fun to note over here.
Yeah, she found Matt's veto and took him out of the competition. Which was pretty dumb. You know, you would have figured that they would have, like, talked and been like, don't take mine because I'm going to use it on you anyway. But, you know, it's just it's the way things go. So pretty quickly, Jason goes to Kevin. Yeah. Now, if you've been listening, you know that the plan was for Jason, at least, potentially taking Raven down and putting Kevin up on the block to, quote unquote, follow through with the plan to backdoor Kevin and then ultimately just take out Matt. So Jason goes to Kevin and says, look, we could put you up as a pawn. Like, that would be fun, right? And Kevin's like, I don't know. That doesn't sound like fun to me. I think maybe not.
I don't want to pack. I don't want to do this. I don't want to pack. Yep. Jason kind of fumbled. He made it seem like Kevin had an option and he put it out there in front of Kevin. Kevin did not take to it. And we all know how Jason is with confrontation and conversation of this sort. He crumbles instantly. So he immediately backtracked and was like, well, no, we don't have to do that. And then Kevin's like, well, can I stare at her? Because she's been bringing up my name. Can I stare at her during the night? Which I want to see what this stare is. I'm really curious how he's going to, like, look at her during this ceremony. But yes, Jason put the offer on the table. Kevin, obviously, as any person would, declined, and Jason had really nowhere to go and really did not want to do it.
Yeah, we're going to find out, is he going to do like the Mark stare, like dumbfounded kind of stare, or is he going to do like a Polly stare when Jose goes home, like, just wait. Who knows? we're just going to have to wait and see. That's really the big point of the entire week. How is Kevin going to stare at Raven? Yes. And Jason points out that the reason why they're going to potentially put him up on the block is because this idea that Raven is under the assumption that Kevin is the target. And this is the first time Kevin is hearing of this. Kevin's like, whoa, hold on. Wait, she thinks I'm the target. Why does she think I'm the target? Is she targeting me? Wait, what's happening here? I don't like this at all.
She brought up my name. Yeah, Kevin got fired up. He did not like what he was hearing. And I mean, by proxy, he really does not want them in anymore, which I don't think he really wanted them in to begin with. But it gets really interesting because I feel like the more and more I was watching yesterday, the more and more it kind of seems like while everyone wants Matt to go, I think everyone just can't stand Raven. So it's really interesting. I mean, I don't think anything's going to shuffle around here as far as like Matt versus Raven. But I think that the more and more Raven does these things to aggravate people, maybe a flip happens. We'll see. Raven doesn't have any fans in that house or outside of the house.
I mean, really, she might own some fans, but other than that, I'm not sure. So Kevin says if he wins the HOH, he's putting Raven and Josh up on the block to get Raven out. Like, that is his goal, which sounds perfectly fine to Jason. Obviously, Paul does not want that. Those are two people that Paul wants in his, like, final four. So you can see why Paul is kind of sketchy with Kevin here. Paul talks to Christmas and Josh, and if you've been listening to these updates, you would have already known that this plan was was a possibility, because I mentioned 2 days ago, when Paul hadn't even thought of this yet, what if Paul wants to take Kevin out this week? I feel like that might be the move. And he suggests to Christmas and Josh, you know what? What if I took Kevin out this week? I feel like that's a good move. And they're like, whoa, yeah, that is a good move. We should just take Kevin out. He's a number for Alex and Jason. They're winning all these competitions. We need to weaken them any way that we can, because Kevin is somebody that's not going to put them up on the block. And we have Matt and Raven on our side. We should just take Kevin out if you have that option. So they're like, all right, let's do this. So Paul goes to Jason, and he's like, all right, so Kevin's going up as a pawn, right? Like, that was the plan. And Jason goes, actually, I already asked him, and he said no. And Paul's like,
It's ridiculous. Like, to think that I, in the preseason, looking at these bios, would look at the guy who answered the question, do you have a strategy to win this game, with yes, and that I'd be rooting for this guy? Oh my days. Jason has put his foot down. He does not want to do this. The entire theme of yesterday post veto was people trying to get Jason to put Kevin up. And Jason has buckled down. He does not want to do it. And there's many reasons getting to that. There's many reasons that Jason sees. The main one being that he feels slighted by Alex. His ride or die, he feels like she was trying to blindside him by having Kevin go up and then voted out without his knowing. So this is the situation we're in now. Jason has his back against the wall, but he has the veto, and he does not want to do this. He was saying that he's had enough of being a minion. He doesn't want every mother effing thing he does being a predetermined move. Jason has been woke.
Woke for sure, yeah. So yes, Jason is saying no. Like, I asked him, I feel like that's not the move, and I just feel like maybe we shouldn't do that. There's no point, we're getting Matt out anyway, so let's just chill on this. And so Paul goes, okay, I gotta refocus here. Alex is talking to Christmas, and she's already saying, like, she's annoyed that Jason already told Kevin about this plan. The whole point was that they were going to keep it a secret, and now Kevin knows, and she's like, why did Jason do that? He always opens his mouth. Paul joins them and goes, hey, I just thought of this idea. Why don't we take Kevin out this week? And Christmas is like, oh, great idea. And Alex goes, that is a good idea. That's completely against my interest. We should totally do that. She's like, all right, now we just need to go and convince Jason to do this. So as woke as Jason might be, like, Alex just keeps going deeper and deeper into a coma, right?
Yeah, and it goes back to what you alluded to earlier. Kevin, Christmas, Josh, and Paul are kind of like, well, Matt and Raven are still good with us. Kevin is very, very much better with the other two than us. So it makes sense. Mathematically speaking, we get rid of Kevin, and then there's a 5-on-1 for the next HOH, and we should be good to go. However, you can't underestimate that morning walk, man. Like, these two have been walking together every day. They've got this bond. And again, it goes back to the fact that Jason cannot deal with confrontation. Jason cannot feel comfortable in a situation where there's pushback, or there's like, I think he loves to be loved and he hates to be hated. I think that's what it is. When he broke Christmas's leg, he couldn't look at her. It took a while for him to, like, be fine with her again. And I think that's one of the things with Jason. I think his life, the way he's been, always been, he's loved. He's beloved by everyone. He's the neighborhood rodeo clown. Everyone likes him. He's an affable person. So he can't deal with something like that. And then the arguments they're making to get Jason to do this really aren't sticking to him. by saying, well, you're going to lose two jury votes. You're going to lose Matt and Raven by not doing what you said you were going to do. And he says, well, I've already lost their votes anyways. And then Alex bringing up the arguments of, well, Alex keeps going back to this whole Derek Kemp thing, which is so irritating. And she keeps saying, well, I think Kevin was pushing back because he doesn't want to be put on the block, because that was one of Derek's things where he was never put up and he wants to follow the Derek book. And Derek's never won an HOH, and Derek wants to coast. He wants to coast to the end like Derek did. And it's just like, Alex, like, when you come out, please, before you do anything, before you start Instagramming and gaining off, go watch season 16 again. I think you missed a couple points. Go watch some more seasons. It's frustrating. And like, we've said this very early on in the season, where a lot of people said, well, Jason seems to have good reads in this game. He has like some kind of instinct that's working. He understands things, but Alex has always been putting the kibosh on that. So it's very, very, very appealing to me, as someone who's not necessarily a fan of Alex, to see this bit of friction between Alex and Jason that was going on last night. He was very frustrated with her, like very frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, so Alex is now fully on board the let's get Kevin out train. She goes up and talks to Jason and says, we should do this. You should put Jason on the block, or you should put Kevin on the block. Jason says, no, I already asked him. He's saying no. She's like, no, we're going to get Kevin out. And Jason's like, what? Wait a minute. Hold on. No, this doesn't make any sense. Kevin is a number for us. He's not going to come after us. We need to get out Matt or Raven. And Alex is as you're mentioning, saying, no, you're going to lose two jury votes. Like, we're so concerned about your jury votes, Jason. Like, what? Since when? Like, when is that an argument? When has that ever been an argument in a Big Brother house? Like, I'm concerned for your jury management here. I feel like in order for you to win the game next to me at the end of it, you need to make this move. Like, what? What are you talking about? It gets to this point where they're like, Jason is very annoyed. Alex is very annoyed because they can't convince each other to do anything. Paul and Christmas chime in at some point and they're like, we think that this is a good idea too. Paul, obviously, though, being the voice of reason because he's able to convince other people to be the battering rams. And he goes and like, well, you know, if you don't want to do it, we're fine with that too, Jason. Jason ultimately says he'll think about it. But Alex is just like, she is pissed. She's like, this is unbelievable. I'm taking Kevin out next week if we can't get him this week. Like, Jason needs to listen to me. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. She's fuming. And Jason, the things he's picking up. So Jason also has noticed that Alex talks to Christmas, and he really sees that as, why is she talking to her more than she's talking to me? He really genuinely feels like he was going to get slighted. And it goes back to what I think of, he loves to be loved, hates to be hated. So when Alex put it out there that once you do this, I'm going to disavow. I'm going to go to them and tell them, I have no idea why you're doing this. You've really effed me up in this game and yourself. And he took it. He was like, yeah, please go do that. Like, I'm completely fine with that. Just let me do this. I don't want to put Kevin up. And he keeps bringing it back a couple times last night, like kind of saying a little bit of me wants to put Kevin up, but I think that's just to appease to them. He doesn't want them to be pissed at him. He genuinely does not want that.
Yeah, and like, he, again, like, he was more than Paul was yesterday. He was like, I want to put Kevin up. And Paul was like, I don't know if we should do that, because Paul, unlike me, hadn't thought of the brilliant idea to get Kevin out yet. So he really was willing to do this. But then what he felt like when Alex came to him and said, no, we're going to get Kevin out this week, he was like, hold on. You've been lying to me this whole time? Like, were you planning on having me put Kevin up and then secretly vote him out behind my back and blindside me? Like, that's what he felt like was going to happen. Like, again, unfortunately for Jason, Paul is the one that was going to do that, not Alex. Alex wanted to be upfront with him, but because Alex came to him with the plan, he was like, wait a minute, Alex, you've been like doing this behind my back. So Jason feels very pressured and he doesn't like it at all. He felt like he didn't like the way that Alex did it. She was like looking to Christmas and Paul to like back her up. And again, Paul plays it well enough that like, he's like, why are you getting them? Like, Alex is clearly the one pushing this idea, and Paul is just like, well, maybe it's a good idea. So there's a big rift between Jason and Alex that's beginning to form this night. He feels like, you know, Alex just doesn't care enough about what he's thinking. And then afterward, Paul and Christmas are just like high-fiving, like, man, we got Alex and Jason fighting. Isn't this great? We did such a great job. We should pat ourselves on the back. We're great at this game.
Yeah, and it's just, and I feel like to be in Jason's shoes, you gotta, like, I kind of see where the guy's coming from. I can't fault him. The entire morning, the entire night before post-veto picks, they're talking about, let's throw it to Josh, let's throw it to Kevin. They won't use it. We're good to go. So the fact that then post-competition, all of a sudden it's the script is flipped and they sound so sure that this is what we need to do. Red flag all over the place. And I did read somewhere that apparently Kevin found Matt's veto and then didn't bring it out. So Paul was bringing that up as a reason. Like, this whole search for a definitive reason to get people out has been working thus far. But with Jason, it's not working. It goes back to the fact that Jason doesn't really talk to the other two. He walks with Kevin. You walk with Kevin, you're friends, you know? So he doesn't want anything to do with this. He feels like Alex is thinking about herself and not about the betterment of the collective. And splitting a pair up to Jason seems a lot more, a lot better. And the fact of the matter is, he doesn't know that he's next. He doesn't know that he's being looked at as next. So he has, there's no reason for him to, not go with the collective. There's no reason for him to not split up a pair. And then, can we just take a moment and really, really talk down to Matt and how ridiculous he is by just sitting there and talking to Raven, and they both decide, and they both say, if one of us goes home, there's nothing we can do about it, and I'm fine with that. And Matt's like, yeah. And it's like, no, you still have, there's always time. Like, I cannot appreciate when you don't throw everything in the kitchen sink at a situation where you're on the block. I really can't. Just have a conversation. You know, they know, people know how Jason is with confrontation. We have seen time and time again, Jason crumble and get weird when confrontation comes knocking. So go talk to him. What's going to hurt you in this situation, Matt? What? Nothing. So I just think he has no F's to give because he's been busy giving F's to Raven for 67 years.
Yeah, I mean, the next point in my notes is Matt is still just wandering around aimlessly asking if he's good. We're still good, right? Yeah, we're still good. Yeah, we're totally good. I don't know, though. Maybe we're not. But yeah, we're still good. He even recognizes, it would be really dumb for Jason to use the veto and not take one of us out because we're gunning for him next week. So I don't know why he wouldn't. But I'm assuming that he is, I don't know. Like, what are you doing? He's doing nothing. He just doesn't care. We talked, is this guy ever going to care? And I think the answer is no, he will never care. And that's just the way it is.
Matt is a meandering moron. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. So we also had Kevin interrogating Paul, right? So Kevin has now found out that Raven was gunning for him, and he's like, Paul, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that I was this backup target or the decoy target, and that I was maybe going to go up on the block? Like, why didn't you tell me any of this? Jason told me that you knew. And Paul's like, whoa, I didn't know. What are you talking about? I don't know anything. I don't know why you think that. And he's like, Jason told me that everybody knew that I was the plan. And Paul's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And Kevin's like, why would you want me on the block? And he's like, I don't want you on the block. I don't know what you, it's like, are we good? Are we good? Are we good still? Yeah, we're good. We're good. This did not turn out super well for Paul. I don't think Kevin really bought what he was selling here.
No, and why would he? The minute whispers because we've up until this week, it's been foregone conclusion after foregone conclusion. Cody, Elena, Mark, they've been set in stone and everyone's been on the same page. Now this week, Kevin has no reason to believe that it's not going to be another foregone. Matt and Raven are on the block. We're going to send one of them home. Aim is Matt. Done. They're talking to him. We'll throw you the veto. Keep noms the same. Done. Josh, same thing. Done. So when this comes to Kevin's understanding, Kevin, who's been fine thus far, has no reason to believe that he's like going to be targeted. So when he hears that, he's going to panic, obviously. And then to hear that more people were on board with this, thanks, you know, credits to Jason on that. Obviously, he's going to go to Paul. I mean, that's the one you go to. When you hear your name called out, you go to Paul, because Paul probably knew. Paul probably heard. And Paul just backtracked, which, I mean, he has no other choice at that point. But now more than ever, now that he's kind of got caught, now that Kevin has an inkling, now obviously Paul wants Kevin gone because he's been tainted. He knows he has this empirical evidence. He needs to get shot. So that's why Paul's been pumped, like trying to get Jason going on this. It doesn't look like it's going to happen, which is a relief. But it really, I think, last night set a fun precedent for the remainder of the season, because it goes back to, I don't know who's going to win the next HOH, but Kevin could win. Who knows? It's not impossible. It's not impossible. Chicken George won an HOH. Yeah. Anybody can win an HOH. It can happen. Accidents happen once. One thing needs to happen. Kevin could do it. We can see stars fly. Alex could win and they'll go after Kevin. Who knows at this point? Just the fact that I'm saying who knows for this season brings joy to my heart. So I'm happy. I'm very pleased.
Yes. So we ultimately get Paul, Alex, and Jason sort of clearing the air here and saying, you know what? You don't want to use the veto. That's fine. Paul obviously leading that charge and Alex begrudgingly following along. Alex is basically like, you know, fine. You cannot use the veto, but if you don't use the veto, I'm going to claim that I had nothing to do with it, that I'm pissed at you for doing this. I kept my word. It's not my fault. And Jason's like, yeah, fine. This gets good. You can do that. I'm okay with that. I'll take the heat. That's fine. So that's probably what's going to happen here. Everybody is going to tell Matt and Raven, like, man, Jason went rogue and he just decided to take you out. He's teaming up with Kevin. Man, what's wrong with it? We're all going to gun for him next week. And then Paul is going to keep Raven's loyalty and that's going to work out very well for Paul. Raven will not care if Alex knew or not. She'll still go after Alex, what Paul tells her to. Alex, of course. Alex is just like, wow, like so bad at this game. Then Paul suggests to them, and this is maybe his way of getting out of the fact that it might be difficult for anybody to beat Alex other than him in an HOH competition, he suggests, you know what, maybe we should throw the next HOH to Josh, because we can let Josh take out Kevin for us, and we don't want to be the ones to take out Kevin. We want to let Josh take out Kevin. He'll take that heat. And of course, Josh, if he wins HOH, will gun for Jason and Alex. So if Paul is able to convince Alex to throw this HOH, I mean, wow. Just like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, she puts the Owen outrageous. It's awful. And they want to throw it to Josh. And I think we can see a replay of what was happening before, where Christmas gets into Josh's ear and says, this is your HOH. We don't like Kevin is whatever. Let's go after Jason, Alex. And Jason hasn't done himself really any favors by winning both HOH and veto this week. And as we've seen in the past, when someone does that, they're too on the radar. And then when you have a sea of nothing amongst you, when you, your ride or die, and Paul have won pretty much majority of the competition so far out of the remainder, then you're the remainder that's not going to remain. You're the remainder that's going to get targeted. So that's just the way it's going to go here.
Was that a zing at that commercial that everyone hates?
Absolutely, no, it was.
God, it's an awful commercial.
Oh my God.
I mean, you know, looking at the stats here, I mean, Alex and Jason, I believe, have won the majority of the competitions, with Paul being probably the third person who's won the most competitions. Obviously, we know Paul has thrown some of those, but still, I mean, the chances of anybody but Paul, Jason, or Alex winning a competition here are pretty slim in most of these competitions. So he really needs to get one of them out next week if he has the ability. And he's hoping that if Alex is willing to throw it to somebody like Josh, then he can get Josh to do it. Because the problem is, even if Paul can beat Alex in a competition, which I think he's capable of it, but he can't be the one to take Jason out. He can't be the one to take Alex out. That will really make them not only bitter against him in the jury, but also a bad, like angry against him in the house. And that's not a position that he should be in. They've got lots of secrets. They're good at competitions. They could gun for him. There's a lot of things that could go wrong. So if he's able to pull this off, he's able to get them to throw these competitions. I mean, checkmate, man. We also had a couple of other things. As you mentioned a couple of these. Alex talking about how Kevin is trying to be Derek because Derek never won any competitions, just like Kevin. And there, no, he actually told us he won like four HOHs or something. He's like, I know, but still, did they know each other? Derek coasted to the end, just like Kevin is trying to do. Like, you literally have the person that we have compared to Derek more than anyone else ever. Like, if anyone's game is as close to Derek's in the history of Big Brother, it's probably Paul, and he's sitting right in front of you and you're going, no, it's that other guy, the one that's doing nothing. He's the Derek. It's like, what are you talking about?
Like, oh my God, she's horrible. She's so, so horrible. I can't, it's ridiculous. Again, Alex, if you, for some reason, end up watching some of these updates when you get out, go watch season 16 right now because you need a re-education. It's awful, man. It's awful. You're blind. You're so blinded by, I don't even know what anymore. I just can't fathom her. She's not only, like, her own game is a mess. She's hindered Jason to a big point. And now she's going to, like, watch herself sink. And to just take a second and go back to what you were saying about Paul and how he shouldn't be the one to put him up and get rid of him because they'll turn bitter. Absolutely. Paul's in a situation now where he's very well placed amongst everyone left. Any of them win, Paul is fine for the most part. So for him, it's just a matter of he needs the right people that he wants to win so that he gets the boot order that he desires. But if he tries to do this, even once, I would say, until like final five, if he tries to get his hands in and like win something to get a result he wants, I don't like that for him at all, especially pertaining to Jason and Alex.
Yes. Kirsten in the chat is asking, I just don't know how the public education system failed Alex so completely. What happened there? So we also had the rough kneecap syndrome. Booyah just spit out his drink for anyone listening after the fact.
Oh my God, give me a warning, man.
She's talking about like she needs surgery on her legs. Her bones are like disintegrating or something. And they're like, what her bones? I thought she was like her organs. Like when did her bones come into this? And like, what is this rough kneecap syndrome? I saw that there's a great tweet from Hamster Watch who's just like Googled it. And like the top result is Hamster Watch tweeting about it. It's somebody mentioned earlier, it's like every day in the Big Brother house is a Raven exposed party. And that's really what it's coming. Nobody believes her at this point. They're still a little bit scared to talk about it, but nobody believes most of what she's saying.
Yeah. And like Jason had a great quote that I think I wrote down somewhere where he's like, if she can't be like, Alex was saying, if she's lying, like America would hate her. And Jason's like, you don't think America hates her? She didn't get a question from Julie. She got zinged the worst by Zingbot, which I don't really agree to that one. And she didn't get a temptation. Like all these factors coming in together. And then you hear all these things like no one person can go through this much adversity in life and like be on Big Brother. So like now your bones have a problem. Your nerves had issues. You have gastroparesis. You have like a second heart. Like how do you have all these things? And then Josh was talking about how she had stitches and then she was doing tumbles the next minute. It's just ridiculous. And then she's cussing in Arabic allegedly, which yes. I was born and raised in Dubai. That is not Arabic. It sounded a little more Dothraki than Arabic.
this, we need to, because I forgot to talk about this the other day. It's like, you should look up the clip, because there's a great one where they've edited in Paul's reaction to it, which is just fantastic, where I believe Paul is like talking to Josh about like how to say something in Armenian, and then Raven just goes off and like says some kind of gibberish to Matt, who's like laughing, and she says, "You don't even know what I said." He's like, "I don't know. What did you?" She's like, I just cussed in Arabic." And Paul is just like,
"Yeah." It's like, "What?
Okay.
What?
Okay."
I'm like, "Jeez."
And yes, as anybody who knows Arabic can tell you, apparently what she was speaking was an absolute gibberish. You know, I was talking yesterday about how, like, when did Dominique come back into the house with Alex saying that she spoke to God and he told her that she might have been the vote. Apparently we've also got Dominique's influence on Raven. She's speaking tongues. Like, I don't know. I don't understand why. It's just, like, we get these people in the house occasionally that just, like, they have no, like, perception of reality. Like, they clearly live in some kind of bubble where just like anything they make up is just fully accepted by the people around them, and they go into this house and they fully expect that that's just going to work for like a national scale. And it's just like, no, you can't just make random stuff up and expect people to believe it. Like, when there's a bunch of people watching, they're gonna be like, actually, no, that's not real. I think she legitimately believes everything she says.
Oh, I think so too. It's very self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, she said it enough times that she fully believes it and she fully follows through with these things. And like, it's been getting more and more exaggerated and ridiculous as we go along. I mean, many diseases, many issues, many syndromes, and then now she can speak parcel tongue out of nowhere. Like, it's just, like, what are you doing, Raven? What are you doing? You need help. You need help.
Yes,
and not, yeah.
Itamar, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, mentioned, she said, when she talked about the having the rough kneecap syndrome, she was like, "Yeah, I've got rough kneecap syndrome." Paul goes, "Who?" Rough kneecap syndrome. It's totally a thing. It's just like arthritis. And, you know, it means my bones are disintegrating and I need surgery on my legs. And then I speak in Arabic and that makes my pacemaker start working faster. And it's all great. Tammy Ross points out, yeah, it is, you know, as much as we laugh about it, it is kind of sad, I have to say. You know, she is on our television. We are, you know, it's fun to poke fun, but it is actually kind of sad. And I have moments where I'm like, it's kind of like disturbing to have to watch this.
Yeah, and it's just like the thought of the rude awakening she's gonna have when she walks out. Like, I feel bad for her. I know she's made this happen. She's laid this bed, but she's made this bed. She has to lay in it. But at the same time, I can't help but feel bad. Like, she kind of brought this on herself. But it's gonna be rough. It's gonna be so rough when she gets out of that house.
And you know that, like, she was raised to be like, you know what I mean? Like, from a very young age, she, like, this was just like her environment. And so it's like, you know, it's you know, take somebody like that out of their bubble. It's gonna, you know, be pretty bad. And, for how annoying she is, like, I don't think that she's malicious in any way. So I don't think she deserves quite the level of hate that she gets. But I think it's fine to laugh a little, because, you know, it's funny.
Yeah, this is the problem when you get coddled too far along into the process, and that just becomes your like who you are. Like, everyone, I feel like, to some degree, at some point ends up waking up and kind of going online as an individual and realizing what they're doing and like really having that cognitive understanding of self, which I don't think Raven's gotten there yet. So, but it's a forced jump. Like, she's gonna get forced into that when she gets out, and it's gonna be an unpleasant road for her moving forward.
All right. So the final thing to talk about here is that we mentioned the other day that Josh had said that he was doubting Paul a little bit. He mentions it again yesterday. He says, "Man, I'm really," he's talking to Christmas, and he's like, I'm seeing Paul. It seems like he's working with everyone. He even says, you know, I've been getting some weird questions about him in my dreams, AKA my DRs. So there's a little bit of suspicion here. He's starting to think, maybe we shouldn't trust Paul as much. So as Paul is running around targeting everyone and their mother except for Josh, Josh is the one person in the house who's like, yeah, actually, Paul might be playing us all. We might need to get Paul out of the house down the line. I mean, granted, he didn't talk about getting him out, but he's talking about doubting him. This, again, very much reminds me of Vanessa and Steve. You gotta watch your back, Paul, because Josh is right behind there and he's sharpening his knife.
Yeah. And like it's been said, Josh is the only one that seemingly could do anything about it. And I think that is going to be the case. And he's aware. The fact of the matter is, you know, pots and pans aside, meatballs aside, Josh has some level of read on the house that I can appreciate. And now that he's calmed down, I really love what he's doing. The question being now, is he going to get the chance and not take it and then it's too late to do it again? Or is he going to get the opportunity and do something? And it all comes back down to like, who is his right-hand person? And that is Christmas. So, and like, it's a little bit like the Alex Jason narrative where I feel like he definitely values Christmas's input a lot. So if Christmas is able to talk him down, he'll stay calm. But I think eventually he'll pull a Jason and be like, I'm done. Like, I believe this. This is what I think is the case, and I'm going to do it. It's just a matter of right now with the tightrope and with the fact that he kind of knows they're well situated with Paul, I think it might even go down to the wire. I think it might just go down to final three, and that's when he does it. So.
Yeah, and the problem here for Josh is that anytime he does mention any doubts, Christmas is right there to be like, no, we should trust Paul. Paul knows what he's doing. He's helping us out. And it's weird because they're both right in different ways where like Josh is right to question what Paul is doing in terms of like getting to the final three. Paul does not want Josh and Christmas in the final three, but Christmas is right that what Paul is doing right now in the here and now is for their benefit because Paul does want Josh and Christmas in the final four or final five at the very least. So it's like they're competing ideologies that are both correct in different ways. And so it's hard to find the correct stance there. So for as much doubt as Josh has right now, unless something happens to like really shake him up, it seems as though that doubt isn't going to blossom into anything worthwhile until it's too late and Christmas or him are taken out at final four, final two, final three, whatever. Again, like there are seeds there, but we'll see if they grow into anything. It's really where we are. It's where we've been. Like there haven't been as like definitive a seed in the entire season, I think, other than the whole Kevin thing where the Kevin thing could have sprouted into something huge. But now it's too late. Alex, even if Kevin reveals that Paul has been, you know, secretly telling him to do things this whole time, Alex isn't going to care. She probably won't even believe Kevin at this point. So that's gone. That's killed. They cut down the beanstalk. It's done. That's our update for today. We'll be live tomorrow morning with Rob Sesternino. We're going to be recapping tonight's episode. We're not having the recap tonight. Rob is still busy with the whole RahapCon thing in Salt Lake City, plus Game of Thrones finale is on tonight. So we're going to be doing that tomorrow morning. It's going to coincide with our update. So that'll be we'll do like a combined effort there. And then, of course, on Tuesday, we'll be back again at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that's happening on the feeds. Make sure you check out the Taran Show. Next episode is going to drop on Tuesday. I spoke with Melissa Denny. I had a really, really fun time talking to her. I feel, you know, people don't really know who Melissa is. She's very new. So we got to know Melissa a little better. That was a lot of fun. Check out the roundtable tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be a lot of fun as well. So make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taran. Puya is at Puyaism.
There you go. The one.
Yes. So thank you everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.